Well, it's the first Sunday in January, so the Christmas decorations have gone away. And of course, if you pop to the shop, you can buy hot cross buns and mini Easter eggs already. Well, this evening we're looking at the subject of the leading question. The leading question. So I'm going to jump straight in with a leading question. Isn't Paul a better leader than Apollos? That's a leading question because it doesn't ask you whether Paul is better than Apollos. It says, isn't Paul? So it's kind of leading you to the idea that Paul is better than Apollos. So why are we looking at the subject of the leading question this evening? Well, it comes from a passage in 1 Corinthians where Paul writes this to the church in Corinth. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this, one of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, still another, I follow Christ. There were quarrels in the church, so I thought, better look up what a quarrel was, and this is the dictionary definition of a quarrel: an angry or heated argument or disagreement between two or more people or groups who are normally on good terms, often about a trivial issue. And I thought, what would be a good illustration then of an argument about a trivial issue? And so I thought about a group of people where there are often arguments about trivial issues, the folks from the TV program The Big Bang Theory. And there was an argument over a relatively trivial issue that goes something like this. In a second, it will go something like this. It's just 2 degrees, Sheldon. I just want to turn the thermostat up 2 degrees. Let me point out that 2 degrees can be the difference between water and steam. Yes, if we lived in a kettle. This is the temperature you agreed to in the roommate agreement. You know what? Go to hell and set their thermostat. I don't have to go to hell. At 73 degrees, I'm already there. Now, just to illustrate really how trivial this argument is, let me give you some facts. 71 degrees or 73 degrees Fahrenheit, that's the difference for us who are working in centigrade between 20 and 21 degrees. 1 degree. The show is set in Pasadena, California, where the average temperature is 78.4 degrees Fahrenheit. There are only 2 months in the year when the temperature actually gets below 71 degrees Fahrenheit. And yet there is this argument about the heat and the thermostat. Quarrels between people who are friends over very trivial issues. But how is it that quarrels over leaders can happen in a church? Well, I think to help answer that question, we first have to think about another question, which is, where do we get our ideas of what a church leader is or should be like? Well, if you're familiar with the world of Baptists, you might be familiar with some of these titles of leaders in the Baptist world. Minister, pastor, elder, deacon, moderator, regional minister, general secretary, and president. Or if you go outside of the Baptist world, here are a few more. Vicar, rector, priest, curate, bishop, archbishop, canon, dean, cardinal, churchwarden, superintendent, presbyter, and overseer. So you'd think just by looking at that list, there was enough scope for trivial arguments just about job titles. If you go to a website called churchleaders.com, they list senior pastors. I don't know what happened to just pastors. only senior pastors, worship leaders, youth leaders, outreach leaders, children's ministry leaders, and small group leaders. It seems that there are a lot of church leaders. What does the New Testament have to say about church leaders? Well, the church New Testament has three words for those who are involved in church leadership. Diakonos, which is translated as deacon, presbyteros, translated as elder, and episkopos, translated as overseer. And there we are, that's your Greek lesson for tonight, you know. First Sunday of the month, and so first Sunday of the year, and you're already getting Greek lessons. So presbyteros and episkopos are used interchangeably in some passages. And so it's thought generally that presbyteros is thought to refer to the person, an elder, and episkopos is thought to refer to the role of overseeing. But there are some who take a slightly different view, who think that episkopos is elders who look after more than one church. So you'll see in some translations of the Bible, sometimes episkopos is translated with the word bishop. So if we come back to the question, how do quarrels over leaders happen in church? Part of it is about this. I'm sure you're aware there are problems with church leaders. I'm sure most of you realize that. Here's just a list I put together in about 15 seconds of the problems with church leaders. So you ready? Here we go. They don't agree with me. They don't listen to me. They do things I don't like. They don't do things I want. Their biblical interpretation is weak, i.e. they don't agree with me. They upset me, they're just wrong, i.e. they don't agree with me. I'm sure you could all come up with a similar list of the problems with church leaders. And so it is with church leaders that, of course, the ones that we don't like are the ones who do those things more often, especially when it comes to some part of church life that's important to us. We gravitate towards leaders who are more like us or at least agree with us. And you could summarize this in this way. The problem with church leaders is this: they're just human. They make mistakes. They sometimes say things that they didn't intend to say. Or they intended to say something and the words didn't come out quite right. In fact, the thing about church leaders is they're just the same as all the rest of us. That is the problem with church leaders. None of them are perfect, and neither are we. I'm going to read you a story now from this book, Let Me Tell You a Story, by Tony Campolo. And he writes this. It's so easy to be critical of church leaders. Most of us are all too ready to look for shortcomings in those who lead the local churches to which we belong. One summer when I was a teenager, I went off to church Bible conference in the Pinoco Mountains. The man who led the conference was a prominent evangelist. The man preached the gospel with such clarity and effectiveness that I was caught up in his message and went down the aisle at invitation time to give my life to Christ. When I returned home, I was armed to attack my pastor. I was ready to question him as to why he had never preached the gospel, because it was clear to me that I had never heard the gospel in his church. Why did I have to go away to a Bible conference to hear the story of salvation? Why hadn't he in his sermons made the salvation story clear to me? I was committed to confronting him at the first opportunity. The next Sunday, I went to church and sat firmly in my seat and listened intently. I wanted to provide a critique for my pastor and point out what was missing in his sermon. Would you believe it? That was the first Sunday I ever heard that man preach the gospel. He did it again the next week, and then the next. And then it began to dawn on me. The fault was not his. He had been preaching the gospel all along. I just wasn't hearing it. The problem with leaders is they're just like us. None of us are perfect. This is what Paul goes on to say in his letter to the Corinthians. What, after all, is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are fellow workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. We are all fellow workers working in God's field. We all have jobs to do. This is what Paul later on says. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its parts, many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts shall have equal concern for each other. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is part of it. Leaders are just servants who are called to a specific role in the church. We're all God's servants. We're all part of his church, and we all have a part to play in it. It's not that one job is above another, says Paul. All jobs are valued. The thing in church is, as Glyn mentioned this morning, so often these days, there's a kind of celebrity culture. So it's interesting when you look at the list of leaders from church.com as to who gets into the list. What things are recognized these days? Of course, all roles are valuable. In a church service, there are those people who get to come and stand at the front. And that's often where the focus is, quite literally, because you're all looking in this direction. But of course, when there's a problem with the sound system or the computer, all of a sudden the focus changes and people are looking around in that direction when something goes wrong. But of course, you're not looking that way when everything goes right. No one's looking when the people come and lay out all the chairs for a service, or do the flowers for a service, or the teas and coffees and refreshments, all the other things that often go unnoticed. But Paul says, everyone is valuable. Every gift we use to build up the body is of use to God. There is no hierarchy in a church in God's eyes. We're just all servants doing what God has called us to do. The writer to the Hebrews said this: let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So let's not forget, when spurring one another on to love and good deeds, that it's a good thing to spur on those who have roles of leadership. The thing is, they're human. So they have days that when they have off days, days when they don't feel so great. Leadership of a church is not an easy task. So let's consider how we can stir them up to love and good works as well as one another. I want to conclude with another story from Tony Campolo's book. He writes this: I belong to a large African-American congregation in Philadelphia that for decades was pastored by Dr. D.W. Hoggard. When he died and the congregation sought a new pastor, I was amazed to discover that they had selected a young man who was just graduating from Bible school. I couldn't believe it. I told the chairman of the deacons that a large church like ours should have somebody who was experienced. I told him that we needed somebody who was a great preacher. The response to my inquiry taught me something about what church can be when it is at its best. The old deacon looked at me and said, "Then we're just going to have to take this young man and make him great." What a wonderful attitude. The deacon was aware that a pastor's effectiveness is largely dependent upon what the people in the congregation enable him or her to be. We all have a part to play. We're all servants working as God calls us to build up his body, the church.